Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, talking about the importance of knowing how to grow your own food and how gardening can change us and our communities in big ways. Our guest today is Ron Finley. He's an urban gardener, teacher, activist, artist, and the gangsta gardener. And he's the creator as well of the Ron Finley Project, which we'll learn more about shortly. And I hope you'll join in the conversation as we visit with Ron. What do you want to know about urban gardening or maybe food deserts? Do you think of gardening as a revolutionary act, perhaps? Join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Ron Finley, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. I was thinking about today's show. I grew up on a farm, and my mom had a huge garden. And so just as a little kid, I started working in the garden or helping her out. Maybe I hurt more than help, but I had that experience early on. A lot of people don't get that experience. What was your first gardening experience like?
With my mom, but I think the first was in elementary school when we did the experiment, you know, back in the 1800s when I was a kid. There was, we get the glass dish and you get the paper towel and you put the seed in it. I'm sure you did that there. And you watch the seed grow. You watch it, you watch it like literally destroy itself and give us new life. But where we were, that was it. We didn't get the other part. We didn't get the sexy part of that. We didn't get the resource, the money part of that, and that's to put that seed in the ground, put that new plant in the ground so you can get hundreds of more seeds, and those hundreds of more seeds will give you thousands of more seeds. And to me, that's the most important part, because that's the economic part, since we live in a society that everybody's, pushing consumerism. that's how you turn that into revenue.
Well, how did it, you have a great, interesting story about how you got involved in, I guess we could say, urban gardening, and I think it goes back, well, at least to 2010, does it not?
Yeah, actually further. I mean, a lot of people know about it from 2010 because that's when I ran into a little situation with the authorities. But it started earlier than that.
Well, what about earlier? What happened earlier?
Well, I had another situation with the veggie popo, and I got us, because I planted my my parkway, which is the strip of grass in front of right before you get to the street. In different cities, they call them different things, but it's like this, the street, the parkway, and then it's the sidewalk. So I have a strip of grass. It's like 9 feet wide, and I put banana trees and basically beautiful flowers. I wanted to come outside of the gate, Larry, and I wanted to be assaulted by beautiful smells and butterflies and hummingbirds and bees, I just wanted to see beauty. I didn't want to see the toilet that people left on the parkway or the dressers or, the trash. And it's one of those things, that create the world that you want to live in, kind of thing, beauty in, beauty out. And so I got a citation for the planning. And that turned into a warrant, and I had to go to court a couple of times, and I took everything out. And so some years later, I did it again, because of course I thought they forgot about it, and somebody else, a neighbor called, the same beautiful neighbor called to report me, that I was trying to beautify. He's trying to beautify the neighborhood, you know. And I always kid. I said, they were like, hey, you could be arrested, you know, for planting, you know, carrots and tomatoes. And I'm like, really? So could you imagine me being in jail, Larry? So what you in for? And I'm like, yo, I planted tomatoes, dude. So back up. You know what I'm saying? So it's you know, that's basically what happened. But this the second time, I didn't put up with it. I said, do what you have to do. If I have to go to jail, if I have to do whatever, I'm not taking my guard now, because you're not promoting anything healthy around here. We can't get any healthy food. You know, it's like blight, it's trash. It's amazing, because you realize that if you're around this kind of scene, this kind of design, because it is all by design, but that's who you become, and it becomes your normal. I didn't want that to be my normal, Larry. So, I mean, I wanted to see, you know, amaryllis and calla lilies and, you know, Casablancas and corn stalks and amaranth. And, you know, I wanted to go outside and be able to pick a pear off the tree and cut the bananas down. And that's what I have now. And eventually, in a very short amount of time, we got the law changed in L.A., in the city of L.A., where you can plant food on your parkway.
Yeah. And you were really obviously the driver for that, getting support within among community groups and community members. And you started the Ron Finley Project.
Yeah. Well, I started an organization before that, which I wound up leaving that organization. You know, how do you leave an organization that you start? but the agenda went, you know, askew. It went, you know, I'm like, whoa, I didn't start this for this, you know. So that's when I started the Ron Finley Project. And, you know, I did a TED Talk, and that kind of went viral. And it's spanned people's imagination all over the world now. And with the Ron Finley Project, all, you know, basically it's I tell people, it's kind of about food, but it's not. You know, what gardens represent to me, Larry, they represent freedom. You know, and that's what I want to see around me. I want to see people really having an opportunity to change their lives through food. And I think if you look at that one thing differently, you'll look at everything differently. If you get a young child to grow food early, you get to show them the alchemy, the magic of this beautiful planet, you know, Mother Earth that we're surrounded by, and we only have one. And when you show them an appreciation for that, and why would you trash your mother if you knew what your mother was giving you? And that's what we're doing. We're trashing our mother. So that's kind of what it is. The message is that if we grow together, we grow together in both ways. If we grow things together, we grow. We grow together. So, it's a lot of messages there. I mean, and, you know, the education system is not teaching us to value self. It's not teaching you to value the planet. It's not teaching you to value your food and where it comes from. And it's the single most important thing to your life, Larry, you would say is what? The single most important thing to your life, I'm going to ask you again, the single most important thing to your life is what? What would you say immediately?
Food.
No, not even close. And everybody thinks that because I grow food. The single most important thing to your life is air. And people try to debate that. I said, no, okay, try doing without it. Okay. You can do without food for days. You can do without water for days. You ain't doing without air there. Okay.
But you got me.
I know. Do we have a Pledge of Allegiance for air? You know, because I'll ask people, okay, what do you pledge allegiance to? And they get embarrassed after I put that in front of them. I say, oh, yeah, you pledge your allegiance, but you don't know what the single most important thing. And some people say water. I said, even water has air in it. It's called H2O, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, Andrew in Green Bay wants to say something to you and everybody else. So let's go to the phones. And Andrew in Green Bay, thanks for calling.
How you doing,
hey,
Andrew?
Thanks for having me on, Larry. Thanks, Ron. Hey, so, Ron, you're like one of the biggest inspirations in my life to get back into farming. I grew up on a farm outside of Green Bay, went to school in the UP, and I heard your TED Talk like 8 or 9 years ago, and it got me going on urban farming up there. And then I realized while I was doing that, going to school, thinking, well, I got a farm back home. I might as well go back and follow the passion there. So now I'm doing a regenerative organic CSA outside of Green Bay and like
wow.
Just trying to get our stuff going. But what our farm is finally established and I feel good about where we're at.
You trying to make me cry? Is that what you're trying to do, Andy? You trying to make me cry?
I'm trying to make you proud, man.
That too.
So where are you at now, Andrew?
I'm in Green Bay, so like I'm driving into school. I teach at NWTC too. So my big question for you, Ron, though, is like, as a farmer, I'm 20 minutes outside of any city center. Like, what can I do as a farm to connect with people that want to grow food in the city and give them like the knowledge and the experience that I have and work with them to help free themselves and grow their own food the way that you do?
Well, first you have to identify these people. You have to know that you have to let them know that you're there. You have to let them see you. That's the first. And how do you get to these people? How, you know, what is the media do you need to do? What is, you know, do you need to to stand on the corner with a bell and an A-frame, you know, or do you go on social media or do you go to different places of gathering, you know, let it be a boys or girls club or church or, you know, some kind of civic place. That's the first thing, Andrew, is like, how do you identify these people? Because as you know, everybody don't want to do this. You know, so how do you find the ones that really, how do you find the soldiers, the one that really, really want to take this and turn it and on? Not only that, teach other people how to do it, because that's how we're going to change this, you know. But yeah. you're on the right path. But what I think, if you build it, you know, if you have a place in the city that you can build so people can see it. You know, and where it's tactile, where people can touch it, where people can participate, you know, and I think that would be the one thing and it can be small, you know, but long as people, because they're going to see that, long as they see the difference, they're going to see the difference. Like, whoa, the whole thing is I can do this. Yeah, you can do this. We all can do this.
Oh, Andrew, good luck. Thank you so much.
Andrew, keep me posted. I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it very much. Ron Finley, our guest today, urban gardener, teacher, activist, artist, and the gangsta gardener. He's the creator of the Ron Finley Project. Questions for him or comments, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at how we can create community culture, social justice, and community life through gardening today with our guest, Ron Finley, urban gardener. He's a teacher, activist, artist, the gangsta gardener, and the creator of the Ron Finley Project. I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts on this, questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So, Ron, talk about how you got some people behind you. There were used to be a law against planting where you now plant a lot. Tell us what's happened in L.A. as a result of this and other places.
I think it's not just the thing that happened in L.A. was it's people ask me, how do you make things change? How do you make advancements? And with a city, I think if you have the ability to embarrass politicians, that's how you get change. And that's how I basically did it. I mean, you got to think we only had not a petition with 900 signatures, Larry. That's nothing, you know, in the scheme of things. But it wasn't that. It was the media. It was like the fact that, oh, these neighborhoods have this, but, oh, you want to stop this neighborhood from having this? They have the same thing. They don't have the opportunities. Oh, but here you have people trying to change that, but you want to stop them, you know? It makes the politicians look real bad. So I say, if you want to change something in your city, be able, we have media now. So you have the opportunity to embarrass them and they don't want to be embarrassed. I didn't say that though. You didn't hear that from me. But that's how you make change. And that's basically what I did, because they were like, oh, he's on NPR. Oh, he's in the New York Times. Oh my God, he's in the Wall Street Journal. So, and that's when I got a phone call, because they hadn't called us back in like 6-7 months. Easy. You know, basically you're just going to throw us under the bus. So that's basically how, you know, how end the petition. And that's how we got in. And then, oh, you know, it really did it. They said, oh my God, I hear he's going to be on TED. He's going to TED Talk. And that's like, if somebody's okay, we need to call him. And that's basically what happened. And Steve Lopez, who's a reporter, Bulldog reporter in LA, you know, he had a big hand in putting it in the papers and basically shining a light on how idiotic the whole thing was, you know, that you're stopping people from growing food on barren land. So, but now it's, you know, I mean, I get to speak all over the world, you know, literally there. And now I have a masterclass, and the masterclass is one of the most popular masterclasses that when it came out on Earth Day, April 21st. And like what's happening now, just a few weeks ago, it was my masterclass is the first one released to the California penal system, prison, men's and women prisons. And it just went last week. It was revealed that it's also in the New York penal system. Rikers Island is the one. So they're going to not only be able to watch all the masterclass, but with mine being the first, they're going to also have facilities where they can grow their own food. So
it's pretty cool.
I mean, no, it is, Larry, it is. I mean, it's like, whoa. So it's some great things happening. I mean, but to have kids, you know, contact you and send you pictures and have, you know, grown people who've never touched soil. And that's the part we don't realize, Larry. You got to remember, there's generations who've never literally touched soil. You know, they live in apartment buildings or tenements or, you know, the projects or these towers, and they have no access to soil. And, you know, people need to realize we're soil. You know, it's not dirt. You know, it's carbon. And that's what we are.
And so your masterclass, what it gives people the tools to become their own gardener?
Yeah, it gives them tools and a lot of inspiration. a lot of I guess Finleyisms, if you can say, because it's not just about the garden, you know, it's about life and everything that's in that garden and sharing literally the beauty of Mother Nature. I mean, and I don't think a lot of people living in cities, they don't get to see the beauty of a sunflower. You know, they don't get to see the mathematics that's in corn and the you know, the Fibonacci sequence that's in these plants. And, you know, we have a distrust. People have a distrust for worms, not knowing how important they are to the ecosystem. I think if we started there, it would change a lot of things. How not only do we relate to each other, but how we relate to this planet, because we're not raised to have an appreciation for air, water, and soil. We're raised to have an appreciation for things. If when are you successful? Oh, you're going to be successful. And these kids, like, I'll speak to a college. I'm like, okay, you're here and you're doing this. When are you going to be successful? Oh, when I leave, I'm going to get a job. And I said, yeah, you're going to start in the bottom of the second mail room. And then you want to be in the, they're going to take you to the first floor and you're going to get an assistant manager job. And you're going to see the manager has a window in her office. So you got to get the manager job. So you get a manager job. Now you got a window. But then you see Susan has two windows in her office. And you're like, oh, so you got to be like Susan. Then you see Mike. He has the latest model BMW and he wears Ferragamo shoes and he has a corner office. So you're going to be like, so basically, I said, do you get where I'm going? Basically, if you follow this system, you'll never be successful ever. Okay. Because you'll be on a hamster wheel the rest of your life. And I said, I'm successful because I woke up this morning. You can define your own means of success. I don't care. It's like how much money you have in a bank. It's in a bank. I mean, what is it doing? It's sitting in a bank somewhere. It's like, it's like that defines your success. No, I'm healthy. I'm breathing and I'm happy. And I got these beautiful vegetables outside.
You know, I'm a success story. You mentioned worms, and Tim in Pembine, Wisconsin may have something relating to that. So let's go there. Tim, hi. Thank you for calling.
How you doing, Tim?
I hope I can stick around long enough. I got a phone that's about ready to go in the garbage can in the bat because I can't get batteries for it anymore. But I guess I can always plug it in. Here's the deal. We have a higher carbon dioxide level than oxygen because – all the various reasons, but the number one reason is the vast area of land that has no earthworms in it. The farmers are doing their thing, but the earthworms aren't part of it. And the gases on our planet are all created by microbes, anaerobic bacteria and aerobic bacteria. Well, here's something that y'all want to check out. There's a five-doctor, 10-year study on the biologics of the earthworm. It's probably only about 12 years old, so it falls under current events. So what it says is that these aerobic bacteria, there's five of them, they live inside and all around the earthworm. Inside the earthworm's hole is completely sterile. The only thing that lives there is these earthworms, and their five types of aerobic bacteria. They consume all other microbes before they can evolve, so that's why they're not present. And so what this says is that the aerobic bacteria is superior to all other microorganisms. So what you got is that's the reason we have oxygen is because of these aerobic bacteria. And the reason we got the imbalance is because they're not in our ground like they should be. Now, everything that you're saying is 100% on. What I'm trying to get people together too, the same way you are. What I want to do is teach people on how to mix the earthworm with fish, with growing plants, vegetables, all that kind of stuff, wherever you want to grow everything under the sun. So the best way to do it is through bringing the earthworm and the fish and the plants all together. You have to have them all in one whole section of your plan. So what happens is you take these earthworms and you use their fertilizer, their waste, and that's the natural hardness minerals that everybody is looking for.
If you feed your fish
worm castings, they will grow 5 to 6 inches a month.
Well,
wow. That's Will. You've heard of Will Allen. He's in Growing Power. That's Will's a master at that.
He is indeed.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you just took me to school, and I appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Jane in Cambridge, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am lucky enough that I've just gotten a bunch of land to garden on, and I've done it, but it has cost me a fortune because almost everything has been destroyed by bugs or insects. Yes, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just learning, right? So there's so much to read, and it seems so complicated to me because okay, so I've been trying to grow these pumpkins, and the squash bugs just overrun it. And I'm trying to do this organically, too, but I bet you I spent $500 last spring between trying to do compatible plants and the flowers to keep the insects coming, and then... It says, well, then I should get row covers, or if I want this organic spray, it was like $170, and it's like I can just buy a bunch of pumpkins for that. I know. So here I am.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm
no,
so lucky
it's,
to have
no,
this,
it's Armageddon.
And I'm
it's
failing
Armageddon.
Miserably.
I don't mean to. Yeah, I do mean to laugh. It's funny. I'm sorry. I can't say I don't mean to laugh. Sorry, not sorry. No, it's Armageddon in the garden. Okay, I mean literally, you're always under siege. One of the biggest problems I have here is ants, and I mean ants for real. I mean everywhere from in the garden, they get in your house, they get in your bed, they're in the kitchen, they're in the food, they're in the cabinets, and it's insane. And then you go outside, and then you got the aphids you got to deal with. And there's this yellow pretty. It's so pretty. This little yellow and black striped bug. It's they call it the cucumber beetle.
Cucumber beetle, yeah.
Oh my God! And it just desecrates your plants because they're sneaky because they leave their eggs under the underside of the leaves, and then so all of a sudden when they turn into larvae, they start eating your leaves, and they'll just desecrate your whole plant, and then they'll grow into the bugs, and then they'll start the fruit. But no, there's organic ways, there's organic sprays to you, and what you need is a balance. You know, you need like there's praying mantis, there's wasps, there's all kinds of other bugs that are good soldiers. You know, and that take care of that, but there are organic ways. But yeah, where you're at, you might need some netting and things like that. But I know it's like, this is a lot of people joke, okay, this tomato cost me $600, you know? But I learned how to grow tomatoes, you know.
Oh man, Jane, thank you for well, good thank luck you. And don't give up. Your advice would
yeah,
be don't give up. Yeah,
don't give up.
You're new at it. You're learning. You're going to learn a whole lot more as you go along, and just keep at it. I, you know, maybe you say you got a lot of garden there. You got a big area for garden. Maybe you zero in and make it a little bit smaller to start with.
Well, no, I think too, pollinators. You know, pollinator plants, you know, they bring other insects. There's a lot. It is a battle, but you definitely can win it. Trust me, without resorting to, you know, toxic chemicals and everything else.
Jane, thanks a lot for calling. Jack in Caledonia, your turn. Hi, Jack.
How's it going, Jack?
What's your opinion on hydroponic fish farms, the vertical ones? If they're a value to society as far as growing more food in a smaller area, using the fish waste as a nutrient source for the plant.
Yeah, no, it works. I mean, it's a closed loop system, and that's one of the things that Will Allen did big. He had what was beautiful what Will did in Wisconsin. He has big hoop houses, and so he has on the outside of the hoop house he has the compost, which that heats the when it's breaking down it heats the hoop house. But then he has the fish tanks inside, and the water from the fish tank and their waste goes to fertilize and feed the plants. So yeah, no, it definitely works, and plus you get fish.
And I'm glad to know that you know, at least know of Will. Do you know, Will Allen's been a guest on the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, Will's my dude. I'm probably going to, we're working on a project that I'm probably going to bring him out to Los Angeles for.
Well, that's great. He's a dynamic guy like you are. Tim from Kenosha County recommended people check out the Farm Fresh Atlas resources. You can find farmers in your area for many things. Their website is freshfarmatlas.org, freshfarmatlas.org. Are you familiar with the Fresh Farm Atlas?
Nope, I'm not. But I'll look it up.
Yeah, we can look it up. Maybe we talk with them sometime.
I'm too busy fighting ants and aphids to read anything.
Kathleen emailed to say that the city of Wauwatosa here in Wisconsin banned growing produce in front yards about 40 years ago. And apparently it's still in their code, though updated, judging by the date on the ordinance, it has been updated a little bit. Well, what do you do if you're in Wauwatosa and you want to grow produce in your front yard or any place else?
What I would fight it. You know, I would get neighbors together and have them do it. The bottom line is if you get the numbers up, they can't do nothing about it. What are they going to do? We the people, and that's where it needs to go back to. We the people. We want healthy, nutritious food. Don't stop us from growing it. That should be an amendment right there. That should be somewhere in the first five amendments. You know, somewhere. And that's what I'm saying. If we grow together, we grow together. I think people need to do that, not just by yourself. You know, have your neighbors do it and make a stance. That's how we make a stance. You know, we got to change man's need for greed to man's need for seed. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah. Well, you, as you've talked about, you teach others in your work. How have you seen, I'd like to have you talk about how you've seen gardening build community and bring people together. And with maybe with some examples.
I mean, a lot. I've seen, especially from, I get a lot of emails and videos and people, you know, testimonies from across the country, now across the world, you know, even as far as, you know, Sao Paulo, Brazil, to Africa, to, you know, England, and San Antonio, Texas. And, you know, you have a kid. He saw one of my talks, and he asked his parents to build boxes on the front yard, and he calls it his neighborhood grocery store, you know, and it's for his, you know, for his neighbors to just come get food. So there's a woman that lives down the street from me. I had no idea, but she said, you know, I inspired her to lose 100 pounds, you know, from seeing, because she put a garden in her backyard and just changed the way she was eating. You know, people that I have college students who dropped out of college and because after hearing me, they said, I realized I wasn't doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And after listening to you, I realized that this is what, you know, my heart led me to. And a guy said he left his job, didn't know what he's going to do. And now he manages, he put in gardens and manages gardens in five different schools in Florida. So as far as growing the community, and sharing food, I mean, that's, you know, one of the top things we have in common is food. You know, we all need to eat. And if you have neighbors doing it, and I love the share factor, because you have people from different regions that eat different foods. You have people from different countries that have, you know, different spices and different colors. And so to me, that's like the melting pot that, you know, like people are used to eating a certain kind of food and they don't switch. But when you have this melting pot, when you get to taste other flavors of cultures and of the world, and it just, to me, it just enhances everything.
It does indeed. Well, what are your ideas? Are any tips for actually gardening in a city or a small space?
Yeah, there are tips. Start. That's the best. Do it. That's the biggest tip. You know, people like, I said, start. They're like, where do you start? I said, the beginning. And they're like, where's the beginning? Wherever you start, tell your own story. I think we need to use our creativity and not depend on others. And this, because gardening is a creative act, but in that too, it's also, it's something that we all need to know how to do. You know, it's a survival skill. It's a life skill. You know, you need to know how to grow food, how to harvest food, and how to cook food. You know, no one can ever take that away from you. And those are the kind of skills that we need in our life. I've seen people change their life with it. You know, and the joy that you get from putting that seed in the ground and having, you know, this beautiful, you know, rainbow kale come up. And I use food as design also, because it comes in so many different colors and so many different sizes.
Well, it does indeed. And I guess there's nothing, almost nothing better. Here we are in Wisconsin, where not weather like LA for sure, but when you grow those tomatoes, and that you grow your own tomato plant, and then you get a nice big juicy red, or maybe it's a yellow tomato, and you slice that open and you take a big bite, and it's juicy and flavorful. And you say,
it's like you making it like you doing it right now, Larry. Like you painting this picture, and I'm seeing the tomato juice running down your face, you know?
Well, there's nothing better. There's almost nothing better.
And there's nothing more sexier, you know? I mean, food growing food. I mean, really, come on. The joy that it gives you it kind of makes you proud of yourself, you know, to see this and to see this beauty. And I mean, I've had people, their first, you know, cucumber, and they start crying, you know, because they saw, there's a documentary I did in 2015 called Can You Dig This? I'm one of the producers, and we follow, like five people, you know, from different parts of South Central, and see how a garden changed their life. So it's kind of cool. You know?
Well, Ron, how do people learn more about the Ron Finley Project and so forth? Tell us where people can go to get more information.
They can go to ronfinley.com, and they can also email us at info@ronfinley.com or respect@ronfinley.com. And our Instagram is the Ron Finley Project, and also Ron Finley HQ. So we're out there and just trying to put a couple of dents in the world, you know, to make it a little better, Larry. That's what the project is about. It's not just food. It's actually, we're trying to change humanity, because that's what needs to change. So it encompasses all aspects of life, you know, and because we're all multifaceted.
Well, I tell you what, you are indeed multifaceted. Would you come back and be with us again? I'd love to talk to you again, Ron.
I would love to do that, Larry. Thank you for the invitation. Count me in.
All right. Ron Finley, urban gardener. He's a teacher. He's an artist. The Gangsta Gardener. I tell you what, it's a great joy talking with him today. And I hope you have a chance to go to take a look at the Ron Finley Project and see all of the things that are going on. And his TED Talk is still up there too. And I think you'd enjoy that as well. We love talking with you, Ron. And again, thank you so much. And I'm going to love talking with our next guest today as well. A couple of folks on to talk about hunting. It's a big activity in Wisconsin, not just for boys and men. It's for women as well. And our next two guests are both women hunters. That coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer.